Hello, Fife fans, and welcome to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a few friends get together and have a chat about anything and everything, putting the world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club.
Indeed. Now, this is a very special edition of Fife Club. It's a condensed version of Fife Club. Just an interview that we're going to be doing for you today that you can listen to. And around my good self, James, on the mic, is the cast from Strange Town Theatre Company's production of Dr. Korchik's Example. You can see the show this week in the final week of the Fringe Festival. It's on from the 21st to the 25th of August. It's on at 12 noon at the Scottish Storytelling Centre in Edinburgh, which is at the bottom of the Royal Mile. And before we get into a little bit of housekeeping, the audio you're about to hear, there is a little bit of hissing in the background. That's on me. The gain that we had on the microphones, I turned it a wee bit too high, so you will hear a wee bit of hissing. It comes and goes at times. Hopefully it's not too bad, though. I hope you can still enjoy the interview for what it is. And before we also do that as well, if you enjoy this, if you enjoy anything we do on the podcast, any of the content we put out, why not follow us on all our social media channels? You can find us on Facebook, Fife Club Pod. You can find us at Twitter, at Fife Club. You can email us, ken@fifeclub.co.uk. You can even go onto our website, fifeclub.co.uk, where you'll find back catalogues of our previous episodes, blog posts. You can even go onto our merch store. On our merch store, you'll find t-shirts, mugs, duffel bags, you name it, we'll sell it with something about Fife Club on it. We even do cuddly toys, so why not have a little look at that? And yeah, without further ado, we're going to get into this interview. We talk a little bit about Dr. Korchik's Example, we talk about the play, we talk about putting it together, the process, we have a wee chat about the Fringe Festival itself, and of course, it can't be an episode of Fife Club without a little trip to the Desert Island of Dicks, and it's probably one of the more sensible editions of Desert Island Dicks that we've had for a long time, but it's a really good interview, I hope you enjoy it, and yeah, Strange Town Theatre Company and the cast of Dr. Korchik's Example. Enjoy. Okay, so I'm here with the cast from Strange Town and the play Dr. Korchik's Example that's been performed at the Storytelling Centre in Edinburgh. Is it the 21st to 26th, or is it?
21st to 25th,
yeah. Yeah, that's right. Wednesday to the Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're just going to have a little bit of a chat about the play, about the Fringe. So if you could give us a little bit of a breakdown of what Dr. Korchik's Example is about.
Sure. So it's a play by David Gregg. Written, I'd say almost, not quite as much as 20 years ago, but a little while ago now. And basically it's about this man called Dr. Korchik, who's in the title, and he was alive during the Second World War, and the story is based in the Warsaw Ghetto. And the basic story is basically the last few days of the ghetto before it was liquidated by the Nazis. And we sent around three characters, which are Dr. Korchik, Stephanie, who is his assistant slash an orphan in the orphanage, and also Adzio, who's a newcomer. And yeah, I don't want to spoil anything because that means you have to come and see it. But
I think the most important thing to say about Korchik is he was very much concerned with peace and with human rights and with children's rights. So the way he was raising the children in the orphanage was very, it was like with compassion and with care and nurturing,
yeah,
and respect. In a time when it was obviously really, really difficult and there was really horrible things going on. And I think his personal beliefs were to be as non-violent as possible.
Yeah.
Which poses a difficult question when violence is being used towards you and your people, whether you should fight back,
yeah,
or whether you should rise above it. And I think that's one of the themes
within the play. Yeah, something that was interesting just from watching you guys rehearse, I was lucky enough to see a couple of scenes just before we'd done this. There's a lot of democracy involved in this play, which I don't know if it surprised me or not. And I've already seen this once before, but it's always something that strikes me back at the very beginning, that Adzio comes in from this environment and it's almost like a new world that you come into at the beginning of this play. So how is that, what's it like for you guys to try and translate that? You know, when you imagine sort of the world outside of the orphanage, what it's like, it's World War II, isn't it, we're basing this around, isn't it? So the world outside the orphanage is a lot of oppression, a lot of pain that's going on in the world. And you come into the orphanage, which is a little bit more welcoming, more democratic, a lot more based around the children. It must be quite difficult to kind of show those two different levels, because they do tie into each other at points of the play. There's a scene, not to give away too much, but there's a scene with Dr. Korchik where he has a conversation with a gunman from afar, and that sort of frustration boils over, almost the why can't the two come together in a sense. What is that like, trying to
you know, translate that onto a piece of theatre. Yeah. Is it?
No,
what is that?
It's hard, but
yes,
a challenge that we all absolutely love doing. And with Korjak talking to the soldiers, you say it was, you know, you can say it's an argument. It's hard because he's shooting at you.
Yeah,
he's shooting at you, and Korjak is trying to be as he's not polite because he's shouting, but he's trying to be very compassionate in the situation. Exactly. I know I wouldn't, if someone was shooting at me, I'd run a mile. You know, it takes a lot of courage to stand up to it, which is what he did during that time.
Yeah, because it's almost a sort of in between. I mean, the first thing you see Dr. Korchak is offering a soldier cigarettes to take ads who will win. Mm-hmm. Even in itself, that's a risk.
Yeah.
That's a heavier risk that comes into this. So it's interesting to see. I mean, for you guys, this isn't the first time you've done this play, is it? Is this the second run of the Fringe? Third?
Second
at the Fringe. Was that last year you did it at the Fringe, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So, clearly went really well. We're doing it again.
Ian Fraser, Stark, and Leanne came on last year. She's a very welcome addition.
But how are you finding it then? Like, coming back to the Fringe, is it a little bit different from last year? Have you approached it differently? Does it feel different?
Yeah, well, we were saying yesterday, we were like, oh, you know, we've got this play. We know it, it's under our belt. Oh, yesterday was our first day of rehearsals, so we thought, oh, we'll come in. Have a nice cup of coffee, we'll have a read through, and
you're just
all chill.
Ping through it, no problem.
We arrive, and the first thing we say is, okay, run the play. And so we did it all what we sort of remembered, and then it was basically saying, right, okay, I threw that in the bin, let's go back, and let's start finding the tooth comb, because we all know it, we know the rhythm of the play, we know the lines, but David Gregg is such an incredible writer that you can go back to it and you can say, did he mean this, or did he mean that, or did he mean that? So that's what we're doing just now. We're sort of just going through it and finding all these little nuggets of interesting bits and bobs.
Yeah.
So it's great.
So it would be fair to say that you feel like you're adding a lot more to this one this time around as compared to last year.
More or different.
Or a bit more of a...
Yeah, I think we're fine-tuning as well.
It's really difficult not to just fall into the same patterns because you're so used to it and you've remembered it from doing it that way. That it's... I wouldn't say we're like... adding anything to the quality of the performance, but it's a welcome challenge.
Yeah.
To start from scratch.
Yeah.
Like the biggest challenge is to not think.
Yes.
Stop preempting. Stop doing it. You know, don't overthink. Literally, just that subconscious brain switch off.
Yeah. Because you also have to go through that sort of muscle memory of it as well, like because you're used to doing it a certain way, and if you're trying to mix it up or do something new, or even just that muscle memory over time, you think's the right way to do it, or that's how you done it, and then you actually go ahead with it. It may have not turned. It's the thoughts there, but the process might not be as it's as you say, the fine tuning of bringing it back and tying it up will make a difference.
Because I slapped Fraser earlier, and we took this up.
Indeed, it was a heated room when we walked in this afternoon. Yeah, it's quite interesting. Something I was wanting to ask just by watching you guys, and I feel like I was going to ask this last time I saw it last year, was the incorporation of the dolls, which is really interesting. Is that something that was brought on through the production of this, or is this something that's part of the piece in itself that was already written in? Has this been, or is it your own sort of?
Yeah, he's adamant about it. I'll give Greg his little foreword in the front of the play where he says he didn't know how to represent the orphans because, you know...
There was 200 of them.
At the end of the day, they were real people. So how can you show them, you know, without giving them humanity, but also at the same time, you can't have real children because it's far too dark a matter. He said he used to watch his daughter... playing, but it was never even just with dolls. It was like with a salt and pepper shaker or whatever. She would give everything names, and everything would have a personality, and everyone would have a different accent. And he was just like, well, that's what children do. They can find a play in anything. So I think that incorporated the orphanage side of things, and also just this, to humanise it, to make sure that
you understand that these people were real.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the gravitas of it, you can't really go into that.
What's really nice is the dolls were designed to be based off of. Where is it?
It's a statue in Israel.
Israel.
Yeah, a statue in Israel to commemorate Korchak and the children he saved. So they look sort of haunting.
Yeah.
In a way, their little faces, but it's for a really good reason, and I think it adds something to the whole picture of the piece.
Yeah.
When you see them not quite having complete faces as well. Mm-hmm. It's like there are just so many kids, we can't get each of them, we can't allocate.
Yeah. I mean, you're not attaching each doll to a specific person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is really interesting to see that. What I quite liked about it was that you're playing these characters as orphans, but you're not just blatantly playing them as children. I think a lot of theatre, there's a bad habit in that where you see actors acting as children, like try and make their voice a little bit younger and do little mannerisms that make them try and seem a bit more childlike. Whereas with a piece like this, I think it's better to hinge it on realism and an honesty in a performance like that. You don't have to be really childlike, but the mannerisms that you bring in or how you speak, it's not specifically, if that makes any sense in the world. Yeah, but,
yeah. But I had this conversation yesterday with our directors.
Yeah.
Steve Small and Kai Peacock.
Steve
Small and Kai Peacock. It's a year on from when we did it last.
Yeah.
And we all don't really look like we can pass a 16.
Yeah.
So you might as well use that to your advantage. Mm-hmm. Use that obstacle as something to explore.
So yeah.
What about if these characters were slightly older? Yeah, I think I'd like you as well. It's annoying when people try and pander.
Yeah.
And also, you're making children seem stupid if you do that. Or
yeah.
That they're not real people when you're giving them a voice or whatever. Like,
and that specifically goes against a lot of what Korchak.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah. Yeah.
So we want even the young characters to be really complex.
Yeah. Well incorporated. But yeah, it's been really interesting to see. I mean, just in general, I know I've not got a lot of time, so I'm going to just kind of fire through a little bit more of the chat before we let you go. I mean, you're doing this again, aren't you? Am I right in saying you're taking this on a tour of schools after this?
Yes, we're doing a month of touring in September around Lothian schools.
Yeah.
I don't know how many we're doing yet, but hopefully under 50, but around that.
Yeah, that's still really good. It's a good story to bring around and take out there.
Also, that was the intended meaning of the play. That was why it was written, is to always, you know, it was written for a school's tour.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that asking these questions of children in their own institution, what do you think? What rights do you think you have?
Yeah.
When can you stand up for yourself? You know, when can you have a say? Like, so yeah.
You mentioned there was a lot of democracy
Yeah.
that you could see in this play, and I think that's really important. One of the, I mean, not to give too much away, but Korchak allows the children to judge and vote each other. He doesn't impose punishment because of something that's been done. He has a small court, the way a court should be run.
Yeah.
You know? People give evidence and they decide amongst themselves. And that sounds very democratic to me. The interesting thing is, he says in the play, in 50 years' time, every school and institution will have something like that. And we still don't.
Yeah.
We go into these schools and we say these lines to these young people, and they're still kind of dealing with, like, the teacher's the authority figure, and they don't always get a say.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're listened to, sometimes they're not, but there's no structure in place there for them to have that freedom, that democracy amongst themselves.
Yeah. So do you think this is something that not just young people can take from this end? Is this something that everyone could learn from it? But so that's, I feel like there's a lot of elements to it where everyone could take that forward from, like, their work life, school life, things like that. I mean, there's messages in there. Like, do you think that's something we could see incorporated in the future? I mean, that's an easy question, isn't it?
No, anyone. This is a play for anyone. Well, maybe not 6-year-olds or 7. I'd say above.
8+. Yeah, that's a reasonable one.
Yeah, anyone can take something from this play, because the writing is that good.
Yeah, that's good to know. Anything you'd like to add about the play? Anything we've missed and we've not covered that you'd maybe want to tell us about, or anything that's...
Please come and see it.
Yeah, please come and see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's...
I've never seen anyone else put it on. I'm sure they have, but we've not been able to go and see it.
Yeah.
If you want to see something along these lines, it's not like it's on.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I was also going to ask you guys, with it being the Fringe Festival, you know, it's more common... Well, it's the most common thing is everyone does a full 28-day run of the Fringe, or 30-day if you're coming in the beginning of August. What's that like for you guys? Is it a little bit more, you know, easier going, knowing that you've only got 5 days and you don't have a full Fringe run? Because I'd imagine if you had a full Fringe, you've got to rehearse the play, work on it, you've got to promote the play, go out to flyers, stuff like this, where this guy comes and chats you for a little bit, like performing every single day, or if you get a couple of days off, it can be quite hard going over time. So do you feel like something like this, it's a little bit more, you can handle it a little bit more like a job through the rest of the year? If you say we did a run in February, for example, it would be in a similar vein to that, would it?
Yeah, I suppose. I think if we had the choice, we'd probably want to do it for a full
year.
But then we have the beauty of we do it for a week in the Fringe, and then we get to do it in schools, which had so two very different types of audience, which is always fun for us to explore that. But also, it was weird because last year we did the first week of the Fringe, and this year we did the last week of the Fringe.
Yeah.
So I don't know how. I'm worried that people are all
fringed out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Come on, do I really want to see you play about?
Yeah.
It's not even that. It's only an hour. Sad and depressing.
No,
it's
not at all. And you've got a really good venue for it as well.
Yeah.
Storytelling Centre. Yes. Not a lot of people. Yes, they are indeed. It's not a lot of people do the Storytelling Centre as well, which is really good. I think it's quite nice that you've got a unique venue in the Fringe, which is hard to say during the festival. You know, you've got like pubs, clubs, pretty much everywhere you can think of. If it's got a door, it's a venue for the Fringe. And this is an actual theatre that you're walking into doing this. It's a really good piece of theatre. So I'm looking forward to coming and seeing the full thing again. And we've got just like two scenes of it, which I'm always at, aren't I? This is the most compliments I've ever had in the podcast. Thank you very much. So, a couple other things I want to ask you. The Fringe Festival, have you guys been to see anything? Is there anything that you've enjoyed about the festival? Anything that you could recommend?
Really amazing circus performance from, I don't remember the name of the company, but it was Milan.
All right.
Hungarian circus. And it was just really impressive.
Yeah.
So that's
very good. How about anything else? How about you guys?
I've seen a few free stuff. Nothing as of yet. Nothing paid as of yet. But I'm gonna take the advantage this weekend and see some shows. But I just love the whole atmosphere of the Fringe. I love it.
Yeah.
I love Edinburgh when it's busy and vibrant. And full of.
Yeah, I have to say that's a rare thing for someone to say who lives in Edinburgh during the Fringe Festival.
So true, isn't it?
It's something special. It's something unique, the Fringe Festival. How about you, Fraser? Is there anything in particular you've seen or anything you want to go see or anything like that?
I've only seen two shows at Nubby this year. I was away.
Yeah.
There's this company, they're called Night Owl Shows, and they do a whole range of basically. Not covers, what's the word? Where they... Well, no, it's like they perform as famous singers.
Basically. Oh, right, like a tribute. Like
a tribute band.
Yeah.
But they're very, very good, and it's very particular people they tribute. They do all these sort of, from the 1970s, like folky, like James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, Carole King. But they also do like James Bond songs. So that's... Is there really a bad James Bond song? There isn't. So they're really worth seeing. And last year I saw all of the shows. Johnny Cash, that's another one.
Yeah.
Aretha Franklin, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Amy Winehouse, a new one this year as well. So I also, they're in a really cool venue. It's really comfy seats as well.
Yeah. That is a definite selling point of the Fringe, though. Comfy seats.
Yeah, I recommend that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so I'll be looking forward to that. I've got one last thing to ask you guys. Unfortunately, I've got to drag you guys over to a desert island and ask you a few questions. So what we're asking people, if you are on a desert island, what sort of fringe-related item, paraphernalia, concept would you bring to the island to help you out or help build a community or survive? That's the best way I can describe it without...
20 kegs of beer.
There's that. I mean, that's actually quite useful when you think about it. Like, the Fringe is basically like fueled on beer. Like, yes. like if you get to like tea time and half the folk out there is not steaming, then something's wrong with the Fringe. Like, something's went wrong with that. Yeah. So yeah, that'd be a good shout. What are you facing?
I think I would take the Fringe catalogue.
Like the actual like, brochure.
And also, I think the only way I would ever actually read it is if it was sucking in his ass. And also, that baby would burn for a long time.
Yeah, that is fire fuel for days. That
so
would.
That's what I would say. Because always when I try and read it, it gives me a headache. So
yeah.
Well,
yeah, you could just take your time, do page by page. What you could do is you could read a page, and then you could burn it. Because there's that many pages, and if it takes that long to burn, you might as well, you know, do that. And then if you're feeling like I need to build a house, just bring like the whole. Basically, when they print off hundreds of these that never get used. Like there's like bus stations and stuff in Fife where they've got big stacks of the Fringe catalogue ready to go, but they never get used. So you could probably build like houses out of that stuff.
Yeah. And yeah, next year Fringe, you know, go paperless.
Yeah. Or download the app. Yeah. You can just, like Fringe got the app now on your phone. Yes. Oh my god. Yeah, because you've got to like order the ticket. Go with. Yeah, you put your bank card in and. Yeah. Although, interestingly enough, something that. We're about short on time, but I'm going to quick put this. It's quite interesting that a lot of shows now are doing £5 guarantee a ticket or pay what you want when you leave. It's something that's become a lot more common, especially in comedy, where you can go in a venue for free, see the play. It's a little bit of a. More of a risk free situation to get people in to see the play, but also, or whatever you're doing. But then it also guarantees, you know, attendance and things like that. It's quite nice. It's good for the consumer as well because you're not having to worry about how much money you're taking with you. You can just go and see a play and come back out for that. Yeah, I thought I'd just throw that one bit in there. But it's something that's grown up a little bit more over time. But
yeah, actually, I went to a play last year. Obviously, I'm obsessed with tribute bands because it was Frank Sinatra tribute. It was half and half. The first two rows of the audience was for paid tickets, and then the back couple of rows were for turn up and then donate if you'd like to.
Yeah. Yeah, and how about you? You got anything you want to take on the island, Liam?
Do you know what? I have no idea. Fraser's answer was quite good.
Yeah.
I can't think of like physical objects that are related to the Fringe.
Or something to play, yeah.
Something for the play at Bag of Apples.
Bag of Apples? Quite right.
The quality in the food stalls at the Fringe over the past 5 years has gone.
Oh my. Oh my god.
Chicken one.
Oh, yes! So good. It is so
good.
No, that'll do. That'll work. That is like proper survival fuel. Like, you've got the burger stand that's just off. Is it where the Tron is? I forgot the name of the place. That's a really good one. Quite like that. They do some Balmoral burgers that are out of this world. Right, I think that's going to leave us to us. Now, usually at the end of these, we ask someone to do a motto, but in lieu of that, I think I'm going to ask you guys, where can we see the play? When can we see it? And how much do you want us to come see this play?
I don't think we've got a motto, but we do have a really good line that's our song.
Oh, you can say the motto as well. That works. Nice.
And I think we all believe that's really important.
Yeah.
That we're telling a story about real people. Yeah. You can see it at the Storytelling Centre between the 21st and 25th at noon, 12 midday.
Yeah.
And that's on the Royal Mile.
Yes.
Next to John Knox's house. It's like halfway down. So good venue.
Yeah.
Nice big cafe upstairs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please do. See. And it's very expensive either.
Oh. So yeah. Just make yourself along. It's on all the time. So yes. Come and see it. Please do.
Sales are good, okay, but it could be better. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
And I think that'll do it for this edition of Fife Club. Thanks again to Strange Time Theatre Company for giving me the time to chat to the cast of Dr. Korchak's Example. Again, you heard that they're on this week, 21st to 25th of August, 12 o'clock at the Storytelling Centre. Make your way along. It's definitely worth a trip. I went to see it on the first day, the 21st. It was a really good production, really well performed. The atmosphere that's brought on by the play, the characters, the depth in the story is definitely worth a watch. It's definitely worth the hour and a bit of your time to go see it. Make it part of your Fringe day. If you're going in the last weekend of the Fringe, Saturday, Sunday, it's a brilliant way to kick off that day for you. Go and see it. Go and enjoy it. Also, just off the top of my head, if you get the chance, go and see Good Bear Dougal. That was one of the best shows I've ever seen at the Fringe in the longest time. One of the funniest shows I've seen. A two-man sketch comedy group. It's hard to describe. It's basically just two tech guys making the most of time without Good Bear actually being there, if that makes it. It makes more sense when you're there. So go and check it out. It's worth having a look. Again, if you enjoyed the episode, if you enjoyed what you listened to, again, go and check us out. We're on Facebook at Fife Club Pod, on Twitter at Fife Club. You can email us at ken@fifeclub.co.uk. Why not go to the website as well, fifeclub.co.uk, where you can see back catalogues of all the episodes, blog posts, even the merch store. And while you're at it, why not go check out Radio Haver? Radio Haver is our home on internet radio. You'll find us on a Monday evening at 7 o'clock. Go and check us out there if you want to catch up on any episodes that we've done before. Why not go check out some shows while there's a lot of good content over in Radio Haver, some music, podcast, radio dramas, it's all there. So take the time out and check that out. It's a really good outlet. And that'll do us there. Again, thanks again for listening to this, and if you enjoy it, let us know, leave a comment down below or send us a message, do whatever you want to do. And thanks. I've been James. The model's already been done, so I don't have to do that. And we'll see you in the next episode. Cheers.